Hello and welcome to Father Figures, the show about fatherhood, uncommon fathers, fathers of all stripes. I'm your host, Stephen Amaya, and here's where we explore the risks and rewards, the joys and the griefs of being a dad. Today's episode features a longtime historian, Ken Thompson, who comes from a Norwegian and German family that's traceable back to the year 1000. Ken, who's 83, is retired from an Air Force career where he was a Chief Master Sergeant Loadmaster, the highest rank available to an enlisted airman. Something to be proud of for sure. Ken is from a more traditional generation as far as fathering is concerned. Time away was more common and acceptable back in the 60s and 70s, particularly if you served during wartime.
I was born in Fairbanks, Alaska.
When did you move to Astoria?
The next year. I was a year old when they brought me back.
Oh, okay. All right. So this town is in your blood.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And your blood is in this town.
Yeah. My father said something about he wasn't going to get married until he had $1,000 to build a house. So he actually, with $1,000, built a small house in Fairbanks, downtown Fairbanks.
Wow. And what year were you born?
1940.
Okay. Yeah. And how many kids do you have?
I have four children, three girls and one boy.
And I imagine all your kids have kids?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. And their kids have kids?
Yes. So. And I just got my newest great-granddaughter early this month.
Wow.
And it was a 9.6 pounder.
Oh, I always thought you were going to say on the Richter scale.
No. That was a big little girl.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. You still have friends here that you grew up with?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I just went to a funeral of one of them a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's classmates still in Astoria. Not that many, but there's not that many of us left either.
True. Now, you went to school. What elementary school did you go to?
Astor. You walking distance, yeah.
Yeah. You live like, what, three doors down?
Something like that. My parents were born and locally and went to Astor School.
Wow.
Yeah.
You didn't know your great-grandfather.
That was the one that came first.
Yeah.
Fisherman, yeah. And his house is right across the street from the front door of Astor School. My mother was born in the house at the top of 33rd, and my father was born basically on this house on the riverside view.
Wow.
On that property.
You know, there's a tree that eagles live in not far from here.
Yeah.
We can see it. It's sort of above the Goonies house there.
Yes.
And you used to climb that tree when it was little.
Me and a friend built a tree house in the fork years ago. It wasn't that tall, but yeah.
How would you, a lot of fathers in your family, and, not just in your direct lineage, but, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have one brother.
One brother, okay.
He lives in Southern California.
Oh. So you've seen a lot of fathers, and you've seen a lot of styles of fathering.
Oh, yeah.
Now, who was strict and who was funny? I mean, was your father a strict person?
Well, yes and no, yeah. I do remember getting spankings once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the last one. My brother and I were going to get spanked, and I got it first, and my dad used a wooden spoon, and the handle broke.
Mm.
I laughed. My brother cried. But that was the last spanking I got.
How old were you?
Oh, I don't know.
37.
Probably 6th or 7th grade.
And now, your father wasn't military, right?
No, that's another story.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay. Since I was born in Fairbanks in Alaska in 1940, Alaska, required the men to sign up for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
My father signed up for the draft in Alaska and then came back to Astoria and was never called up. Years later, we found out that Alaska wasn't drafting fathers. I saved him.
Wow.
His brothers went in the Navy.
Yeah.
My father's father made 93. I think my father made 95.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know what I'll make. I think I raised a little more cane than they did.
Yeah, but you're probably in better shape than they were.
I don't know. My father was a workaholic.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Him and his brother had the fish market.
Where was that?
In Astoria, Thompson Seafood.
Where in Astoria was that?
Where the Viking roller rink, Viking Theater, where the bank parking lot is now on 12th Street. But anyhow, my father worked at Pier 39. It was the coal storage then. So after work, on the weekends, well, it was fish market work. You know, he would come home, have supper, and go back to work. Fish market work. Yeah.
Did you ever work there yourself with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I worked behind the counter in the fish market when I was old enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was dating in high school, I would have to take my wife out to the coal storage, go up into the freezer, pick up a salmon, take it down to the fish market, and put it out to thaw for the next day before we went on a date.
Did you, I know this is a personal question, but did you smell like fish?
Well, you know, there's another story. Most of the women in Astoria, if they worked, they worked in canneries. And so they would come out of the cannery at the end of the day, get on the bus smelling like fish. They smelled like money.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Was your dad the model for your parenting style? Or did you want to do it differently?
No, I probably used whatever modeling there was of my father, yeah.
Yeah.
My parents were big into the church. I am now a church member, Bethany Lutheran Church here in Upper Town. See, Upper Town again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We need a flag, you know.
Yeah.
How present was your father when you were a kid? Was he working a lot, and was he gone? Or?
Well, he worked a lot, but we would go duck hunting. We would go fishing together, vacations. Yeah.
So it sounds like he was a pretty good dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I remember when he got his first driver's license, I remember that, and then he bought a brand new 53 Chevrolet, 1953.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you approach fatherhood differently for your daughters and your son? I mean, in other words, did you try to impart something to your son that you couldn't to your daughters because you're a father and a man?
No. I just, you know, my wife was home raising the kids, and I was out on a mission.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think I treated them differently.
Did you feel more protective toward your daughters than you did with your son?
Yeah. Yeah, you might edit this out.
Okay.
But I remember my parents, when I was young enough to old enough to understand things, I found their book on life and read it through and through, you know. And a few years later, they gave me one, and I had already read theirs. Those real deep conversations, I'm afraid, I left with my wife and to the kids.
Now, what percentage of the time were you gone when you were in the Air Force? How long were your missions, and how long was the in-between time?
Well, we would get one day off for every 3 days gone. Some of the missions would just be a four-hour local and go back home. Other missions would be up to 3 weeks long.
Okay. Now, I think I missed at the beginning when you were talking about your job in the Air Force. What was your title?
Loadmaster. That was, if you look at a big airplane today, take all the passenger seats out of it, and that big hole is what I put cargo into and secured it and balanced the airplane so it would fly.
Yeah.
In flight, yeah.
Yeah. Did your father approve of you going into the service?
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 18, a little over 18 when I joined. There just wasn't good jobs or good paying, I don't know. But yeah, I did a little bit of work at the coal storage. I stacked some frozen tuna for a while.
Yeah.
Did some work at the fish market. But yeah, you know, there wasn't getting anywhere in Astoria, so I joined the Air Force. I think I've been to all the continents. I've flown over the pole. I've been to McMurdo Base.
Antarctica.
Yeah, landed on the ice twice.
Yeah. Now, was there anyone special in your family who also joined the Air Force?
Naturally, my son.
Oh. Naturally.
Yeah, and back in those days with a dial telephone, I made the phone calls.
Yeah.
Got him into the Air Force, into the career field,
wow,
into the airplane, the school, the base. I took him on his first mission, and I got to be his boss.
Oh, wow. What did that feel like?
Oh, good.
Nothing like assuming a little power every once in a while.
Now, in the Air Force, you needed to get special permission to fly with a family member.
Okay.
So besides his first trip, and we flew together once after he got qualified. And so he stayed in for 22 years. He's now up at Elmendorf at Anchorage, and he teaches a C-17 simulator to loadmasters up there, refresher, okay, and does engine running load tests.
Did you encourage him to join the Air Force, or was it his own?
Well, he saw what I did, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that's what he wanted. He knew what he wanted then.
Yeah.
Do members of your family or contemporaries of yours, friends of yours, do they ask you for advice? Because you are a, you know.
Well, my kids will talk to me and ask for advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not in every issue.
Yeah.
But, yeah. We all communicate. We are a normal family. We've had disputes and gotten over them.
And when did your wife pass away? What year?
06.
06.
Yeah. So that's 18 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were together for how many?
48.
48. What is your fondest memory of being a father? When you felt particularly close to a kid or your kids?
Well, out of the four kids, I was there for two of them, their births.
Uh-huh.
So those events, you know, and naturally getting a son, not to diminish the girls or daughters anyway, but yeah. My four are kind of close in age, you know, 6 or 8 years most.
What advice do you have for fathers, wannabe fathers? Well, you know, what's the stuff to look out for when you're a father?
Children first have to learn who is the boss. Mm-hmm. You can spoil them, but to a point. To a point, you have to be in charge, the father. So, yeah, I made mistakes. I got corrected. I learned from them. Same, same.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are spankings and there is limitations and, disciplines.
What sort of discipline did you use? Did you raise your voice?
Yeah, I could raise my voice and make them understand.
I see. Persuade them.
Sometimes you had to drive that point home. Usually you didn't have to.
Yeah. Did you punish them by revoking privileges? Or?
Oh, sure. You tried. Yeah.
Yeah. What did they not want to be deprived of most?
Well, probably going out with their friends.
Yeah.
You know, after school, you had to come home and stay home instead of going out and doing things with your friends. Yeah. Trying to teach them to eat their vegetables, that wouldn't work. You know, they would sit at the dining room table, looking at that plate for hours. Still, that sometimes they were stubborner than me.
Yeah, time for a wooden spoon.
Well, yeah, they learn fast. So if you let them get away with something too often or too much, it's harder to correct them. So a verbal correction early, saves a spanking for both of you. No, I think my father was raised on a wooden spoon.
Yeah.
Learned how to work. Had to, because he lived through the Depression. Fathers have to be strict at times.
Yeah.
And loving all the time. You know, there's true love and hard love and hard lessons to learn.
Yeah, I've recently learned, well, I heard it and learned it and believe it.
Yeah.
That love is not a feeling. Love is a skill.
Yeah.
And I think that's true.
Yep, and each one is different.
Yeah.
Each one is wired differently.
Did you behave any differently toward your father after you were in the Air Force?
Yeah. I matured, you know. As a teenager, I was rebellious, yeah. I probably started smoking and drinking at 15 and 16. And yeah. I remember they had that 53 Chevrolet. And back then, you could disconnect the speedometer on the car and get permission to take the car to school. We'd go to Portland and back and then reconnect a speedometer, my odometer.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So, yeah.
You wily little boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's things I do not admit to.
Like what?
I do not admit. Underage drinking and fast cars, yeah.
Well, one of those has continued.
The fast cars.
The fast cars.
Yeah.
You have an absolutely wonderful Mustang.
Oh, yeah, and a nice Thunderbird.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And the best part about it is they're all paid for.
Yes. You keep them in such great shape.
Well, yeah. If you take care of them, they last longer.
Yeah. When you were starting out, what was the biggest risk that you were taking as a couple?
Well, financial.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, I was stationed in King Salmon, Alaska for that year. My oldest was born, she was 9 months old when I came back. And from then on, you know, as a low-ranking airman, money was always a problem. There was never enough of it, so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in those days, were you separated more from your family, or did you move together?
I was on the ground together with my first and second child. And let's see. Oh, I was with my son, my third, just about ready to start really flight training, you know, as an air crew member. Mm-hmm. And I got emergency leave, got the call. My wife was down here a little before. Yeah, so I was one at a time. They came.
Okay. And were you separated from your family on missions?
After that, when I got on flying status, it was common to be gone.
For about how long?
Some trips would just be overnight, and others could be 2 or 3 weeks. It just depended on where we were going to.
Okay.
And then when we got back, we got 1 day off for every 3 days gone. As a bare minimum.
Uh-huh.
But when the war was really going strong, you know, you're home for those 3 days and you're gone again to Vietnam on a trip, and that would take 10 days, something like that.
Okay. So your wife took care of all the domestic stuff.
Yes, she did. Very well, yeah.
Yeah, that's... Did she feel put upon at all, or...
I think we both looked on it as our jobs. I was making extra money, and she was taking care of the household.
Yeah,
because being an air crew member on flying status, I think I got $75 a month extra pay.
That's good. Yeah. Now, was there this dynamic in the household? Was there a sense of wait till your father gets home?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What was going to happen when Father got home?
Well, more often than not, it was just talking to him. Uh-huh. You know, because it was after the fact, I didn't catch them. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So did any of your kids ever get out of line?
Oh, I'm sure they did once in a while.
In your presence?
In my presence? Well, when I was home, I was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they would try the typical kids' tricks, you know. Nothing drastic, like skipping school, like somebody I know.
Yeah, well, the sins of the father. You mentioned earlier that you might have your great-grandson for the summer.
Well, I would like to have him for part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I did go visit him, what was it, Tuesday for... He had a baseball game, the last one of the season up there. Yeah.
Yeah. How old is he?
He's going to be 16, I think, this month. Yeah.
Yeah. So if he did come down for the summer, what would you do? What would you hope to impart?
Well, I would like to get him a part-time job or have him work. Uh-huh. And at the same time, I would like to... Teach him how to drive, especially a manual transmission vehicle. Yeah, you know, and just, yeah, help him grow up and mature a little bit more.
Yeah. Would you do anything different as a father if you could do something over again?
I probably should have been home more, but it took money to survive on, and that was a way to make extra.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would your kids say the same thing?
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when I was home, we did things together as a family. We made the events at school. And my wife worked at the youth center for a while up in McCord at Tacoma. So, you know, she was there for the kids. And when there was events and I was home, we all went to them.
That's good. Now, do you think it's harder or easier to raise kids these days?
It's probably harder. There's more problems to find for them to find, different things to get into, but it seems like it's looser for them and they find more problems. I don't know if they get away with them as easily, but I think there's more problems out there now. We didn't have drugs when my kids were growing up or when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm. Which of your kids is most like you, and which of your kids is most like your wife?
Well, you know, I have a son, so I would venture to say he's most like me.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughters, you know, all of our four kids have things from both sides. Hopefully the best.
Yeah. What do you see any of the worst in you and any of your kids? You know, like habits you have or, you know, proclivities.
I think my oldest had the most free spirit.
Your oldest was your son?
My daughter.
Oh, your daughter.
Yeah.
Okay. Free spirit. That sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah. They probably all got caught doing something or trying to get away with something at one time or the other. But, yeah.
Was it easier to raise a boy or a girl?
Hard question. They were one at a time.
Did you make a conscious effort to raise the boy differently than the girls? You know, with...
No, the rules were about the same, you know. Yeah.
Were the daughters expected to go out and get a job and, you know, work? Or were they expected to, be... like your wife was, most of the domestic work.
I'm trying to think back that far. I don't know. After high school, some got some college and some went to work. And,
Are they all working now?
No. My son is working. And, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. The daughters are... running a household with grandkids, et cetera, yeah.
Oh, that's a quite a busy thing to do.
Yeah.
What are you proudest of as a father?
Well, they all graduated from high school, and none of them had any problems with the police, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they all turned out good. The world is full of us.
I'd like you to talk some more about, if you can, how has aging shaped your fatherhood differently? Or do you see your role in the family changing because you're an older man?
Yeah.
And I don't know, have there been any internal changes now that you've retired and you've...
Well, I have to look at my children. They're all adults, you know, so what they do or say is up to them for their children. You know, I might make a comment or I might just internally disagree, but that's their family. But we're still a tight family. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The world is full of us.
So, Ken Thompson, thanks for being on Father Figures. It's been a pleasure.
Very good, yeah.
There is a difference between what a father is and what a father does. Isn't a father always a father in his child's mind? Something more pure than just a regular working Joe? A dad is, in a sense, an authoritarian, yet in the best cases, he represents safety, comfort, and protection. And, as with most responsible men, putting food on the table is an essential and inescapable priority. And its cost can be long weeks away from the family while you fly around the world a few times, during dangerous times. And yet, something powerful in me wants to be on that aircraft, flying over the pole with a good crew, or descending into Rio de Janeiro on a moonless night, securing your work and essential to that crew. I want to thank Jason Shaw from Audionautics for the music, and CC Blanca for production assistance in this episode. And remember, if you'd like to get in touch with me, I take both praise and criticism, and also any suggestions for whom you might think might be a good guest on the show. Send along an email to radioranchero@gmail.com. So until next time on Father Figures, remember, the days may be long, but the years are short. Bye-bye.
The world is full of us.